This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. The agents wrote the copy and managed the timelines, while our human creative director made sure it all made sense. Easy. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight. Enjoy the excitement and play today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
How are you, everybody? Welcome back to the channel. I'm Ron Swanson, clearly in Sith Lord mode. And we're joined here today by Ryan Dalton from the Closed Horizon campaign, asking the question, is Epstein really dead? And we're going to delve into it tonight. And Ryan, thank you so much for coming back, chatting with me again. How have you been keeping? What's been new? How are you doing personally before we delve into everything?
Yeah, it's good to be back on the show. I had a great time with you last time, and I was looking forward to today's conversation. Been doing great, man. Life is good. We've gotten the word out there in a lot of different platforms. I had a great reaction. You know, you never know what's going to happen when you put yourself out there, right? You know, we have a theory that is not fringe among the people who are close to Epstein. So like survivors, people that live near the Virgin Islands, people that have some kind of direct contact with him in his life. This is not a fringe theory among those people. But in the wider population, they've only been presented two options, which is that he left that cell, or that he was murdered in that cell, or that he committed suicide.
Yeah.
And the third option has been totally concealed. And so when we initially kicked things off, we thought, all right, we believe this is to be true because what the evidence shows, but what's going to happen? And we've been met with an enormous amount of support and other people who say, yeah, that's what happened.
I mean, I'll be honest, it kind of blew my mind the last time you were on, because we looked at the image of Epstein on the island that had been taken by the drone, and it's a really compelling piece of evidence. And the story of the note that was left behind and all of the strange writings that was on there. Is there any new updates before we delve into the main side of the campaign?
Yeah, so there's one piece of evidence in here that we've added since then that isn't getting any real talk right now. And I can show you that if you're interested. So,
of course, yeah, absolutely.
If you scroll down, let's see, it is, they've got a number underneath the date showing the event number. Let's see if we can find it. Yeah, here we go. Event 7.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Okay, event 7.
Yeah. So, you know, we go on these shows and then people reach out to us and say, hey, have you seen this thing? Have you seen that thing? And we love that. Keep that coming, because there was 3 million files. People are still digging through these things and still making sense of this information. It's an enormous amount of information. This is a living timeline, so this will be updated as new information comes out. This is not static. Okay. If it comes out and it meets our evidentiary threshold, meaning that when we look at it and we think, yeah, this more likely than not supports this theory, we'll include that. We'll also include things that don't support our theory if they make sense, basically what kind of data would be expected of anyone that's making a case for something. You talk about the other side as well, right? So this card number 7 has been added since we last spoke. And I'm astonished by what doesn't get any airtime in this case. And the things that do are predictable. The things that don't are surprising, even among like people that hold to the alternative belief from the official narrative. This piece of evidence I'm about to show you has been completely left alone.
I mean, that sounds crazy. I mean, I'm just reading it just now, but I mean, that to be given, I mean, I'll let you explain it all, but I mean, it seems insane.
Yeah. So I'm going to put it in context for everybody. So where we are at the timeline, we are the night before he allegedly dies. So we are on August 9th, 2019.
Oh, and I've lost it now. It's this one. No, I've lost it again. Hang on a second.
Event 7, I think, is up. Yeah.
I got it.
There you go. Yeah, so it's August 9th of 2019, and this is the night before he's found allegedly found dead in that cell. And he's been given these, Epstein has been given these special considerations as an inmate that other inmates are not getting. So he spends up to 12 hours a day with his attorneys. He's got these special rooms that they can meet in so that they can confer privately. That's expected under U.S. jurisprudence. That's the attorney-client privilege. You are allowed to talk to your attorney without anyone listening in, right? So that's normal. Yeah. What's not normal is how long he would do it. And the other things that we see evidence for now, one of them is in the Office of the Inspector General report, there is a discussion of this 21-minute call the night before his alleged death. And he gets on this call after a manager in the special housing unit shower area, weirdly. I don't fully understand the architecture of this building. In the shower area, there is a line that allows people to make unrecorded calls for legal purposes. So if you want to talk to your attorney or you want to talk to someone involved in the case that you have attorney-client privilege with, this line has this purpose. So there's this legal line that's unrecorded, and he's given a handset by this unit manager. So Epstein lies and says that he's going to talk to his mother. Well, she's been dead, so he's not talking to his mom. And he calls this 646 number, which is a New York area code, and is handed the phone, and a male voice picks up. Then it's patched through to Belarus. Now, Belarus is interesting because this is a call that's made from the prison to someone who then sends that call over to Belarus. So it's patched through some individual. So there seems to be some intermediary here that's responsible for making this connection for him.
Right. Yeah.
Which is interesting, right? There's no acknowledgement of any inmate form authorizing use of this line. There's no notification internally about this. There's no log of the recipient, and the person that picks up is a man, so not his mother, right?
Right.
So all of those are highly anomalous, just from the jump. Like, that is in defiance of internal procedures for the Metropolitan Correctional Center.
If the line is used for, you know, private calls between lawyers and things like that, that makes sense, right? The existence of that line makes sense. Random that it would be in the shower area, right?
Weird, just
throwing that out there. But if the staff know what its existence is for, why would he be given privileges to phone his mother?
And why not use the normal line to call his mom?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, if a prisoner said, can I use this super duper secret shower line to call my mum? Like, they're just going to be told to go and use a regular phone, surely. I mean, why does the mum excuse? So, does that not drive you mad as a former, like, law enforcement, that there's such loose links and chains?
The Bureau of Prisons, in any prison anywhere in the world, there's going to be people who avoid procedure, who don't follow them. I mean, that's a hard job, a correctional officer. I have a lot of respect for correctional officers. That's a really hard job. But there's also people with hard jobs who don't want to do their job, and they don't care if they can break the rules. And so, in a sense, inside of a prison, it's not unusual for procedures to not be followed and rules to not be followed in that sense. But what's really wild is how significant the departure is from what's expected for this kind of line. And then the call lasts 21 minutes where he's speaking to this woman. After it's relayed through a voice over IP service to an international number, we later learn that's Belarus. And they speak to this individual later that in a proffer that comes out called Individual One. And we later learn the best guess is that this is his girlfriend, because he talks about how he would be involved in a case that would take a little bit longer than he thought, that he loved her to be strong. And here's the real crazy part.
Right.
He tells her that he would not be able to call her again for another month. So tell me why a guy who the next day is about to take his own life tells his girlfriend that he's about to hang up the phone with for presumably the last time, if you're looking at the official narrative. He tells his girlfriend that he's not going to be able to talk to her again for a month. Mm-hmm. Now, there's two options. Well, really three. He was lying to her and knew that he was going to kill himself. Or he sincerely meant it and he got killed anyway, right? And was murdered in that cell. Or he was honest and he could talk to her again, you know, in a month. I think that we put this in here because it matches up with the rest of the pieces of evidence around his intent. He intended to leave that cell alive and he knew as much. And so he had this recorded line where he assures the girlfriend that he's going to make it and he's going to talk to her in a month.
It's such shenanigans, Ryan. Like, we had the cameras are out. The cameras are out outside the cell. The guards are falling asleep. There's missing CCTV footage. Now he's got a 20-minute call in the secret shower hotline ahead of, like, the day before his liberation, shall we just call it? Because, I mean, I'm not being funny, bro. When you look at all your evidence, this image, right? I mean, this image blows my mind. And the fact that we've now got this phone call, how can we look at situations like this where there is such a chain of incompetence, bro, from guards falling asleep to CCTV? All of it seems to be a theatrics, right? Because there's no way all of this could happen in a normal set of circumstances, you know?
Yeah, we did the math on that. So one thing that's helpful for determining what's true and getting outside of the realm of conjecture is to apply a mathematical model to your assumptions.
Okay, brilliant.
So we did that. My friend Nick McKinley, he runs a group called Deliver Fund. If you scroll down or if you search for probability analysis.
Okay, I got it.
It's at the bottom. If you look, it's called, the card is called The Odds, All 14 Anomalies in the MCC Happened by Chance. It's towards the bottom.
Okay. A
lot of evidence here to scroll through.
Yeah, sorry, bro. I'm just
It'll be on the right. It'll put. Yeah, there it is.
Okay, yep, sick.
So I think we've actually added this since last time we spoke too. I don't remember talking about this.
Right.
But basically, 14 separate things had to go wrong inside the MCC that night for the official story to hold. So.
Oh, wow.
And these are not little things. These are significant, and they're statistically significant. So if we use the federal government's own published base rates for suicides in their cell and camera failure and things like this, we've created this mathematical model that anyone can scrutinize. If you want to go and hold our feet to the fire and give us grief about it, go do it. We tell everyone, go scrutinize all of our evidence. You can go on GitHub. You can pull down our statistical model. You can look at the assumptions and you can look at the math and you can plug it into a Python script and like we did and challenge us on it. And what we have is that this probability is 1 in 5 times 10 to the 30th power. So this is the same odds of flipping a coin and landing it on heads 121 times in a row. Or like getting on the first deal of cards, a royal flush in a poker match. So the odds are astronomical of all these things happening at once. And this
what's a nanillion?
Yeah. So 9 trillion, 1 in 5 nanillion, a trillion.
1 in 5 nanillion.
Yeah, it's a big number, right? Like, have you ever heard of that number before?
No, I've never heard of the number nanillion. Yeah. And also, we forgot to remind everybody, like, what makes you qualified to do this? Just to remind everybody what you used to do, Ryan. I forgot to do that.
Yeah, so my background, I began my career as a lawyer specialized in human trafficking law and policy. I went to law school for that reason, to work against human trafficking. That was why I showed up on day one and what I intended to do and was doing the day that I graduated. I then founded a small tech company that created human trafficking intelligence for law enforcement and prosecutors, where we were able to surface patterns on the internet that allowed us to find human trafficking victims, and later sold that company and then went and worked for the Department of State as a federal agent for 5 years, where I did investigations and protection. My investigations focused on, you guessed it, human trafficking and cyber crimes. And then I worked for the Rewards for Justice program for the U.S. Department of State after that as a contractor with my co-founder, Alex, where we managed the intelligence collection for reward programs. And so we decided to build Closed Horizon and the reward program for Epstein based on our history and background and the tradecraft that we used while working for the government.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Oh, qualified then. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. So I did just because, you know, it's 2026, people can just throw websites up. You know, you can throw numbers at people and make things look fancy, but you're the real deal. And I just wanted to just clarify that. And also big shout out to Alex, who couldn't be here tonight. So hope you're doing well. And we'll probably see you on a further show. If you haven't already done so, can you please share this live stream? Because YouTube ain't going to share this live stream. Okay, I'll tell you this right now. So if you guys could help us out, share this out where you can, like and subscribe and do all that good stuff. And yeah, let's get back to Nanillion and 1 in 5 to the times 10 over 30.
Yeah, so this is a methodology that we invite scrutiny on. So we put everything out there. We put all of our claims, all of our sources, everything that we use to arrive at this conclusion so they can be openly challenged. And what we found is that the people that hold the official government position do not want to contend with this information. They do not want to do it. You want to hear a crazy story? You'll appreciate this. Did you listen to Coast to Coast growing up ever?
Do you know, Coast to Coast, we didn't get it here because I'm in, in Scotland. But as soon as the internet hit, it was the thing of legend, man. Like in like the Bebo and MySpace era, it was all Coast to Coast clips and things like this that people were putting up. And yeah, wild.
Yeah, Art Bell is a legend. George Norrie's great too. Both those guys are legends. But here, check this out, man. So we're getting the word out there and we're bringing this to lots of people and we're having conversations about this because intuitively people feel something is very wrong here. Like they can't put words on it, but they know like something about all this is just wrong. And then we show them this information and they think, oh, this is it. And so we're having these conversations with guys that we go on podcasts and shows for, and we get this call from the producer of Coast to Coast. And he says, hey, start from the beginning and just tell us who you are and what you're about. So I give my background like I just gave to you, and then I start talking about our mission and what we are showing the world, what we're proving here. And I started getting into Epstein stuff, and he says, hey, let me stop you right there. We don't cover Epstein. And this is Coast to Coast. They cover every conspiracy. They cover crazy conspiracy theories, man. Like they cover, you know, multi-dimensional beings, and like, you know, it's Coast to Coast.
It's coast to coast, right?
Yeah, it's not The View. Well, you know,
I mean, was their attitude that hey, we only want to talk about conspiracies here, not the facts, or what?
No, it was they don't cover Epstein at all. They do not cover Epstein. And so I ask him. I say, well, why? And he just doubles down and says we don't cover it at all. And he was very warm up to this point. And then after the call is starting to conclude, he becomes very matter of fact and stops the call. And that's the end of it. So what we do is we go look this up, is we look up, well, okay, who owns Coast to Coast? And it's owned by a subsidiary network of iHeartMedia. iHeartMedia is owned by a guy named Bob Pittman. He's the CEO. Bob Pittman is in the files as one of Epstein's associates and exchanging emails together, and there's a lot of coverage on this guy and his relationship in the files. The truth is not going to get out when the guy at the top says you cannot cover this topic, right? So we've gotten this resistance. And so what we seek to do when we put out information like this is to have transparency from top to bottom. Here's how we got all this information. Here's where we found it. Here's the sources. Go and check it, because the only thing that's going to change people's minds is if they have access to this, they have the truth, and the secret keepers keep doubling down on keeping the secrets and not contending in good faith with this information.
Yeah. And with all of this getting shut down, I mean, of course, the coast are shutting things down, right? Is how much of a reflection is that on the rest of the media and the bias and the cover up and the paid narratives and all of this? Because but before you answer, we are having legal like legislation put through it in the UK right now, Ryan. Now prepare yourself for this one, bro. So the UK is rolling out for every social media platform they have to have whitelisted pre-approved creators and mainstream media outlets favored in search engine results, because there's nothing quite like controlling the propaganda machine. And this is rolling out within the next few weeks, I do believe. There, people are trying to fight it. But just process that. Our government is only allowing pre-selected creators and mainstream media to be at the forefront of suggested pages on social media platforms.
It's too dangerous to have people like you and others who seek truth and who are willing to go wherever the truth leads to be popular. Like, it's gone on this long is amazing to me. The fact that that hasn't happened before now is interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm one of these radical truthers. Do you know what I'm saying? One of these radicalist truthers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's terrifying, bro, because the biggest commodity in the world is attention, right? And if you can control the narrative on the global attention, you are screwed, you know? So yeah. How do you feel that that coast-to-coast response reflects the American media as a whole with regards to the files?
Yeah, this isn't surprising. I mean, it's not the first time it's happened to us either. CBS News did an article on us in our trip to Little St. James, where we began promoting the reward offer and investigating the fact that Epstein is still alive. Mm-hmm. And they published this article, and they present us as these conspiracy theories who are looking up this debunked theory, but they don't actually contend with the most inconvenient pieces of this. The New York Times recently released an article about their investigation, and you may be surprised to know that their conclusion lines up with the official narrative, right? Like, it lines up perfectly, which is what you'd expect of legacy news media. So I think that more people, one thing I'm hopeful about, though, I'm not a doomer about this, man, is that more and more people in the United States are starting to wake up to this and look at this stuff and think, nah, man, we're lied to about everything now. We're lied to from the CBS News and New York Times, and they understand they're being lied to. But like, coast to coast didn't even give us a chance to get to that point. Mm-hmm. They suppressed it so that it wouldn't even happen at all. So
you see, I need to ask you, I don't know if you want to go down this road, right? But there's a huge chunk of the files that are missing, right? And it's a very specific timeline. And do you have any theories as to what they're protecting within the files they've not released? Because if they're willing to give us baby jerky, right, and hide other things, what do you think is lurking in that other timeline?
Yeah, this is an interesting question. Let's go down this road.
Let's enter speculation mode.
I think that you can make reasonable speculations.
Hell yeah. It doesn't matter. He's dead. What's he going to do? Sue you? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm not going to get sued by it. Yeah.
What's he going to do? Well, that's what I said to Sean the other day. I was like, you know, it's really good when we cover Epstein, right? Because people love trying to sue us. Diddy, freaking Jay-Z, they love it, right? And that's, the list goes on. But it's, you know, it's great. What's he going to do? Nothing. Neener, haha.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway, but Ryan, carry on, mate.
I love this question. So, Ron's, I think you're referring to, there's two types of missing files. There's the ones that the FBI and DOJ just refused to release. That some millions of files that we don't know the time span of those files, when they begin, when they end, how recent, how long ago. We don't know any of that. We just know that they've got a lot of them, and a lot of that stuff, by law, they can't release because it's child sexual abuse material, I believe. And so we'll never get that, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that the society really, I think that that is rightfully kept locked away.
Well, there's two ways of looking at that too, Ryan, right? Obviously, we can't release child abuse material. But you know, the FBI has a website where they remove like really weird pieces of art that might be in the background, or like someone's jacket or jumper hanging up, or a tattoo on someone. And they'll just home in on items that could be identified within the room or on the person who's doing the abuse, so that anyone who could recognize any of these things can report them. And there's been some success with it. Would you support something like that when it comes to trying to get justice for the people who have committed these crimes to get them jailed?
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying like there's ways to use technology to release sensitive information that needs to come out. And I support that. What's interesting is that Forensic Canyon is what I've seen it called, where between, I think it's either 1998 to 2001 or 1999 to 2002. It's like a 3-year span where there's nothing. I mean, it is file not found. There's nothing going on in there. This Forensic Canyon in the files. So what happened in U.S. history in those years? Well, you've got two major things. One of them is the dot-com crash, and the second is 9/11. And my guess is that Forensic Canyon is going to show some really wild stuff about each of those events. Mm-hmm. And I think that not just out of speculation because of the timing of those and what happened and what's missing, but there's an email to Ghislaine where she's asked about the 9/11 Shadow Commission. Have you seen this?
No.
There's an email to Ghislaine that I think the individual that sent it is redacted. I can't remember. Maybe I just can't recall who it was, but she for sure gets this email where she's invited to be on the 9/11 Shadow Commission.
Yeah, I'd heard about this. I hadn't seen it though.
So she declines, at least on an email. But someone's invited her to a shadow commission. Now, why is there a shadow commission? Who's inviting her? And what did they achieve? And I think we'd get more about that kind of thing out of that Forensic Canyon when those files get loose.
Yeah. Like, when we look at what they're trying to protect, okay, it seems like it's the financial structure. It seems like it is under the table events like 9/11, the dot-com crash, that would put some of the largest companies, in my opinion, in the world at risk, right? These conglomerates like BlackRock and individuals like this that seem to own everything, right? And if we've got a bunch of emails back and forth in the Epstein files about 9/11, about the dot-com crash, there's a whole bunch of speculation about a lot of things right now that are popping up in the files. Like, you just have to go and have a look at what the McDonald's conspiracy that's going on right now is bananas. And I think once this comes out, I don't think this will ever come out. I think they're going to do everything they can to push the Epstein files back into the realm of conspiracy, because if no one's arrested, okay, if there's no arrests and 20 years go by, and we've got one website with a bunch of emails from a guy who unalived himself in prison, but no one was arrested, people are just going to start assuming this was all conspiracy again. Even though everything's sitting there staring them in the face, Ryan, like, people still believe that, like, a couple of dudes in caves, like, knocked the towers down.
Yeah.
You know? Like, a tower fell down about 5 minutes after the BBC announced that it had fallen down. Yeah. And it was, do you know what I mean? So we just can't live in a world where we keep having these conversations. We interview survivors, we interview whistleblowers, and then the interview ends and we go back to living in a world where we forget that all these things exist. And then when we talk about it again, we know what's at play here.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating that history likes to just keep repeating itself, and our inability to hold our governments accountable has been weaponized against us,
right?
Because they know we're just going to go, well, it's the government, can't expect them to go after the international PDF syndicate. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Our ability to suffer for what we believe is at an all-time low. I mean, look at other societies historically, like the French Revolution, right, where they eventually were stomped on enough and there was enough poverty that they got the guillotines out. Now, I'm not advocating for violence, but what I am saying is that they were willing to suffer for what they believed in. And we have access to every convenience, and we have our phones that we can have endless entertainment on. And I think that that's used against us. I think that the bread and circus is kept flowing so that we don't actually do anything about it. And I don't know. I don't think it can be like that forever. I think there's a generation of people that have watched some of this stuff happen, watched Charlie Kirk getting his head blown off on your Instagram, right? Like, there's a reason they allowed that to be circularly. Like, when's the last time you saw someone die on Instagram from a gunshot to their face, right?
I mean, let me rephrase it. When did I last see a white dude get shot in like a public space in an American place? Very rarely. But there's a madness. The internet's mad, mate. Like, you just.
But that was allowed. Like, amplified.
Oh, right? Hell yeah.
It had to have been amplified. It was so definitely. I think there's a generation of men and women who are starting to be real, real upset about some of this stuff and not just their government institutions at all, especially in a post-COVID world.
Well, yeah, but you can't remember. People like to talk. People always say, you know, remember the French Revolution, remember, you know, the Crusades, all these things where people are rising up and all the rest of it, right? When all this happened, okay, people were a lot more sort of aware of things happening, right? Things that are going on right now have been happening in my country for almost 20 years, and they're slowly drip feeding it in now. It's not like 40,000 freaking heathens are coming over the hill and marching into your village. They're coming over in little tiny boats. Do you know what I'm saying? And being taken under the government's wing. It's like a silent invasion now. And it's a scary one, man, because my country is ripe for boiling over. You know, we had one little village, Ryan, 2 days ago, 198 people in this village, bro. They don't have a police force. They've nothing, right? But they do have a military base just on the edge of their village. And they're now going to house 1,250 male illegal migrants in a village of 190 people. Could you 5-to-1 ratio with no police force?
Yeah,
so they voted yesterday, 96% of the population of the village voted to leave the UK and declare their village their own little country the other day. Obviously it won't happen, but it shows you where people are at, bro. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, you've left those people to the wolves,
bro, right?
If there's no police force,
yeah,
and there's hungry and desperate people, that is a recipe for catastrophe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is a fancy, quaint little village, bro. Like, this is like, you got, you know what I'm saying? It's a nice little village. But it's just the numbers. So, I mean, what is that? That's not taking in migrants. That's eradicating the native population is what that is.
It appears deliberate, doesn't it?
Just a smidgen. Just a smidgy poos. Yeah, just a smidgy. But anyway, look, we're not here to rant about that. We've got other things to rant about. But again, do you feel like the shielding the money trails and the big conspiracies, 9/11, the .com, and also the Jeremy Times, right? The Jeremy Times was mentioned in the Epstein files, but I think there's so much more that's been hidden about cloak and dagger business decisions that they're happy to just throw the occult stuff and the baby jerky people to the wolves, right? Because they're the lesser of the two evils in their mind.
This Monday.com ad was created by a team of people and AI agents. Reese, our content agent, wrote the copy based on our best practices, like mentioning Monday.com 3 times. That was the second. Johnny, our coordination agent, built the timeline and kept everyone aligned. Olivia, our human creative director, stayed in the loop because agents are great, but they don't always know when a joke lands. She had one note: tell listeners it only takes minutes to build an agent. So, minutes. Create your own AI agent today on Monday.com.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think if people knew how these people make money, there would be rioting. I choose to believe that. I hope that's the case. I mean, you look at some of the information that's missing and can infer that people made a lot of money off of both of those events. We know for sure that people shorted the airlines around 9/11. For sure, we know that, right? So you have foreknowledge of 9/11, which I think Israel was involved in. I think the evidence shows this. If you have foreknowledge of it and you can short the airlines, you can make leveraged shorts that make you insane amounts of money. Just life-changing amounts of money because you're betting against the basically the U.S. economy. If you bet against the airlines, you're betting against the U.S. economy, which normally is a stupid decision. But if you do it right before 9/11, and you know 9/11 is going to happen, mm-hmm. you're going to make tons and tons of money. And so what I think is what we would find is if they let out more of these files, is we're going to see, because they admit to it in the files, Epstein and his associates talk about this. They make money. They say that the Jew makes money by not labor, but effectively through the work of laborers. And okay. they talk about, that's their words. That's their email, right? That's not my
Yeah.
And I don't have any problem with Jewish people. That's
their email. That's not how the internet's going to clip that. I just, so you know, that's not how that's going to end up on Twitter. So, you know, just that, you can argue that out on Twitter later.
Oh, yeah, but okay. I'll have to clip myself clarifying it. But that's what the email says, you know? And I think that the fear to talk about this and to read back what their own emails say, because they're afraid of being looked as anti-Semitic or whatever. Jewish supremacy is a part of their worldview. And you see that in the files. And part of that worldview involves the way that they have made money historically in the way that they do business. And I think that that is what's going to emerge with more files that come out, because they've already come out with these files and shown that.
Interesting. Yeah. I think the sort of sprinkle of Jewish involvement and Israeli, who's Israeli in charge here, factors majorly in this. I think you're right too. And, you know, where do you see us getting any further breaks in any of this? Is there anything that you're working on or that is teetering in the horizon with regards to any more evidence that you've got your eyes on, or and also how's the whole campaign going in general?
We're thrilled about it. When we put ourselves out there, we had no idea what would happen. Our reward pulls up to $54,000. It's only been live for a little bit now, so that's not going to be money that's going to convince one of his associates that has, you know, millions or billions of dollars. But that's not our target. We want to solicit information from people who are in the inside circle, who are contractors and maids and drivers and security and the yard guy and the people that are responsible for the infrastructure to keep him concealed, right? Those are what our reward program is for. We want them to come forward and they want to get proof of life for him. So we're really happy about how Closed Horizon is going with that and the Epstein campaign. People are sending us in tips. We're getting in some really interesting information. We've had people that have come to support us who have offered some very interesting approaches to determine proof of life that we're running down. So there's more momentum than we could have ever imagined at this point.
Yeah, wow. I was going to ask you about the pool as well, because you mentioned that the last. I need to go back and check and see where you were at in episode one, because I don't think it was even close to 54,000 the last time you were on.
Yeah,
so that's awesome. Like that's,
we have
that's
people giving all throughout the day, every day, for a while. I mean, it's like slowed down a little bit, but every time we go on a podcast and we talk about what we're doing, we're using an incentive to get someone to come forward for proof of life. That's what we want. We want someone to come to us with direct observational knowledge, not speculation or, you know, they read this or how about Palm Beach Pete or that conversation. None of that. We want direct observational knowledge. And when someone comes forward with that, we want to pay them for that information and reward them for bringing it to us.
I swear to God, I feel like years ago, there was like Epstein and a bunch of his clones on the island, right? And someone thought there was 10, but there was actually 11. And one of them was Palm Beach Pete. And he just swam to safety, and they just miscounted them, and he just went and lived his life. Because what is going on with that guy, bro? I understand his argument. Hey, I'm Palm Beach Pete. I'm in my 70s. You know, a guy doesn't often get a chance to hang out with these cool people. Like, I mean, if I looked a bit like Epstein and I was in my 70s and the whole world made me go viral, would I play into it like Palm Beach Pete if I was in my 70s? Probably, okay? But what's your take on this situation? Is this like, because I feel like I feel like I'm part of like an Illuminati game where every time I look at Palm Beach Pete, Ryan.
Yeah, this is a psychological operation. This is intended to deceive and influence. That's its purpose. And I would love to see Palm Beach Pete's financial records. I'd love to see his banking information. I would love to see what kind of accounts he has access to, who's paying him to do that. Because think about the timing of it. So no one knew about this guy in 2019. No one knew about him in 2007 when Epstein was arrested. At neither time did anyone have any awareness of this lookalike of Epstein. You know, what did happen is a little over a year ago, they see him driving around in Palm Beach and someone has this like candid video of, oh, look at Jeffrey Epstein. That is all fake. All of this is fake.
Yeah.
All of it. Oh, it's created, it's manufactured, and it's designed to deceive and influence people and to soften the Epstein conversation.
Okay.
Because they have a huge problem.
Okay.
Yeah. So you see him out with these models, he's on boats, he's cutting up, he's like, oh yeah, like I'm Epstein, you know, whatever. He's making light of all of this. So when people search for this, they get Palm Beach Pete and they get his worldview about Epstein, which is drastic departure from the, you know, the actual reality.
I really feel like the fact that he's admitted to meeting or being at parties and being in that crowd and living in the same area and all this stuff as Epstein, right? Surely before now, somebody's going to have pointed out the guy that looks a lot like Epstein that hangs around in the same circles that are kind of near Epstein, right? Like, I mean, I'm not that, like, surely. Even Epstein, I imagine, would have thought that was quite humorous and had a photograph at some point over the last 20 years with Palm Beach Pete, right?
Yeah.
Ego stuff, right? But it's interesting that we're actually having a conversation about the governing bodies of this planet finding a lookalike for a global PDF syndicate runner to then put him out to soften the image in a psyop. I mean, so then, but here's the thing. It's not really Epstein. It must be the long play on re-conspirifying the files for the up-and-coming generation. Because we're looking at this a psyop and going, what a waste of money. Like, we know this isn't Epstein. We know the files are still being released, right? So this must be a long play, right? It must be. What's your take on the who they're dialing in on and whose image we're, and who softening Epstein's image is, who softening Epstein's image is intended for? Yeah, exactly, Ryan. Exactly. Because it ain't us, right?
I think you see through it. Probably a lot of your viewers see right through it, is my guess. But man, a lot of people don't. A lot of people think, yeah, that's him. That's Epstein.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've never really considered the long-term play. I mean, these good operations think in terms of decades, not days.
I mean, think about what you just said though, right? If a lot of people just think this is Epstein, right? Then we live in a society where no one is taking any action against a man they believe is at the center of the big... Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So with that psychology, you know, 10 years from now, if you're Googling Epstein files and, you know, you're getting the remnants of the files that are there, you're getting this Palm Beach Pete guy who looks a bit like Epstein, who's surrounding all these guys. Like, what is the play here?
Yeah, I mean, you eventually keep surfacing all of that content. I mean, he's turning out content. He's on podcast after
podcast.
Right, and that's going to have sticking power for sure, right? And over time, some of this stuff gets memory-holed. I mean, you can't even find lots of these videos on 9/11 anymore, and that's only been 25 years, right? Like, they're gone. They're completely memory-holed. I mean, there are documentaries that are made that are incredible, like the new Pearl Harbor. I recommend those to people. It is hard to find them, if not impossible, unless they get moved over to Rumble or something like that.
Sure.
Even the footage of Epstein on the island was taken down from YouTube. And so they know that they can play a long-term information game and come out on the top when the next generation comes around, and they might even just not care at all.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. And what was her name? Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell. Have you heard any updates on her? I mean, apparently she's in prison wearing a plastic nose and a freaking fake pair of glasses and on the most medieval long table in the world. I made a joke the other day that that's how my mum sets up a Skype call. You know what I mean? Like, freaking laptops at one end of the table. She's at the other end of the table. Do you know what I mean? But this, it was just, Ryan, what is going on here? Okay.
What do you think? Do you think that was her?
Oh, bro. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. In 2026, at this point, that could have been George Bush dressed up as Ghislaine Maxwell, and I would believe you. All right. Like, I'm exhausted, Brian. I'm exhausted with trying to convince anyone anymore that any of this is real. I can't do it anymore. It's like Ghislaine Maxwell with a pair of glasses on. I can't find it. I think we found one picture of Ghislaine Maxwell where she's not just wearing sunglasses. And it's like a set of glasses you're wearing, for example, Ryan, right? Yeah. Well, maybe she wore contacts. Well, maybe she did. Okay, I don't know. But why is she wearing a plastic nose? You know what I mean? It looked like one of those things that you see in a joke shop, Ryan, with the glasses and the nose attached to it with the big eyebrows. I don't know what that is. Do you know, I feel like when it comes to Ghislaine Maxwell and her dad and Israel, it gets real espionage-y. And the timeline of her dad's existence is like the golden era of espionage and shenanigans.
Yeah.
You know, like, can you imagine living in a world with no CCTV, Ryan?
Yeah.
Like, imagine you walk somewhere, you walk home, and nobody's aware of it. Like, just try and fathom that. So the shenanigans, like, of that era is just, it's unfounded. And I'm sorry, a former Mossad undercover agent falls off his yacht, does he? Does he, Ryan? Eh? He fell off his yacht. Fell off his yacht, mate. Ah, of course he did. Of course he did. Do you know what I mean? It's decades of absolute propaganda feeding nonsense. And I'm just until I go to the prison and look at Ghislaine Maxwell in prison, I ain't believing none. I'm really not.
Yeah, we can only really believe what our eyes directly see, what we can experience with our five senses to arrive at what's true. And I think this is a really big deal. What you're saying is bigger than Ghislaine in that it's an epistemological crisis for the world. We live in an age of deception where everything can be AI. Nothing we see is true. We're lied to about everything. And this is part of the philosophical thesis of Closed Horizon, why we built this company, because what you can truly match up between what question someone wants and someone who has direct observational, I saw it, I'm holding the document, I can personally testify to my observation. That's the kind of evidence that humans want. We crave that, right? Like if I was a guest on your show and I said, no, like I have been in that prison facility, I've sat down in front of her face to face, and that is for sure Ghislaine Maxwell, yep. Right? Well, then you have to assess my credibility as yep. the observer and my truthfulness as a human, but you're like one step closer, you know?
Yeah.
We don't have any of that right now. We are so far removed from being able to assess what is true about the world.
And yeah, 100%.
Structures are effective at managing narratives and managing control and are very yeah. organized. I have yeah. no idea if that's her or not, man. I don't know.
I don't know either. Like, I've started just taking a strand of hair from people when they come in my house, and then they have to sign a document just to prove that they were there. Here's your DNA. Try it now, mucker. Do you know what I'm saying? Because it's getting to crazy town. And
yeah,
we've seen all the distractions, bro. You were going to invade Greenland, aye? Okay, sound. And then the alien stuff and all the UFO stuff. What's the word in the former FBI freaking law enforcement human trafficking scenes about the UFO files and all of that? Like, are we just being shown a bunch of like frisbees that are being thrown really quickly, or is there some actual like weight behind what we're seeing here, do you think? I know it's not really your field, but I just thought we'll throw that one in. Why not?
It's not, but it is something that I've studied since the 2017 release of the New York Times article on the black budget program at the Pentagon that was studying UFOs.
Okay.
That article came out, and it was a watershed moment in ufology where they looked at that article as the turning point when a major publication pushed something out. Now, I don't trust the New York Times at all, but what I can say is that it opened a lot of minds up to the possibility of non-human intelligence. And I think that there's weird convergences between that and the Epstein stuff. Like, for example, he purchased Zorro Ranch, which is right next to Los Alamos in the United States. And that's where the alleged UFO legacy program was operating out of and doing groundbreaking physics research on energy and propulsion and quantum research and matter was happening out there. And I think that the Los Alamos Ranch was his opportunity to get access to those researchers, because we know for sure that he tried to and did and succeeded at getting both support for and access to people who are involved in groundbreaking science. And so
crazy groundbreaking sciences, bro. He was obsessed with he had a psychologist who was approved to go into USA hospitals and test whether or not certain sounds would soothe babies if they were in distress, which to me sounds an awful lot like, hey, let's test a bunch of new MK Ultra trigger noises on a bunch of little kids and see what happens, right? It's scary. There's mentions of time travel and all this stuff, and it gets really bizarre, because when you've got people with billions and millions and billions of dollars, and they're investing their time and money, even if it's just conversations on sciences that we think are out there, we need to just have a coffee worth of time, think about what that means. Because he's talking about, are there proteins going to work for time travel? What is going on? Like, what is going on, bro? And to finish off with the UFO stuff that you said, like, I think there's so much more going on with humans and every other thing that we know as non-human life, whether it's out there in the center of the earth, dimensional, whatever. And I interviewed a guy called John yesterday, and he backed up my theory on, you ever watch Star Trek? Mm-hmm. You know, the Prime Directive, mm-hmm. about how you cannot interfere with a planet until it learns warp technology, right? Well, what if that's the same rule for our universe, right? You can't interfere with a planet until they reach a certain state of evolution, right? Which is cool, unless your government is absolutely off their nut and it's a bunch of like bloodline vampires that run your planet, and they keep the entire planet in a stagnant state of technological progression that doesn't line up with the rest of the universe, thus restricting the aliens' access to coming and doing anything and keeping us all in the shadow of progression. Because the minute that the UFOs land, bro, the minute a spaceship lands and a dude walks out and goes, sup, everything changes. No one's giving a shit about Iran or Donald Trump or freaking Rajasthan or any of that. We're just thinking space stuff, okay? Like, I'm, you know what I'm saying? Like, what plants can you smoke in space, Ryan? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, that out, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, like, they got the good space stuff.
Got the good space stuff, bro. Lightsabers, right? Like a tiny lightsaber just for cutting cheese. You know what I'm saying? That's how advanced they are. Like that, but that's what would happen instantly. And then after that instance, rioting, panic, a bunch of wars. And then after that's over with, peace and aliens. Because it would break the system. It really would, in my humble opinion.
There's secondhand and third-hand accounts of conversations inside the national security world from the secret keepers, where people will come out and they'll either confide into a UFO student or historian or someone who actually researches ufology. That's pretty well documented, but only as like secondhand conversations about the fear of the secret keepers around the UFO topic, that it's going to disrupt society in such a way that it's unrecoverable. And I think I used to disagree. I used to think, no way, like, we deserve the truth. And then I think, I don't know, man. I think it's going to be a real problem.
I think we deserve to know, but I'd like to be 80. I'd like to be born maybe 90 years after we all find out. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I would like guns here. Don't know if I want to be the first generation of gun owners in the UK. A lot of people are going to be getting shot through walls when they're spinning their Beretta on their finger and a shot goes off. Do you know what I'm saying? Not a lot of trigger discipline is going to be in our DNA. And it's the same with that. But here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. They're going to have to pick the alien wisely. Like, if it's some big scaly thing with like nine eyes and six arms, that's, people ain't going to take that. You need to bring down like a hot looking alien, a human looking sexy alien, and then that'll make it a little bit more easy. But again, I could put an argument down for both sides of the argument, Ryan. I really could, right? I really, really
curious, could. Isn't it? I think that the release of these UFO files is part of controlled disclosure. I think that they're deliberately, gradually releasing these. I think that it's not a coincidence that after 2017, we had podcasters come out and just gradually give a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit. You had guys like Lou Elizondo, who was allegedly this former CI guy. I don't think there's a former anything in the government generally. I say that as a former Govy who actually is former. But I think that there's a lot of guys in the intelligence world that never actually really get out, and they're used for laundering a message and laundering a narrative. And I think that the we've seen that with ufology, where these disclosures now are part of a the timed and deliberate disclosure program that's very gradual.
Yeah, and here's another thing though, right? So there was a book that came out called Childhood's End. They released it as a movie or as a mini series, right? And basically the Galactic Council of whatever, right? Earth's time was up, right? So we're the last generation of humans. So this big alien spaceship turns up and they cure all disease. They cure everything. We've got a utopian society. We get to live in paradise, but no one else, there ain't no more babies. Everyone's sterile now, right? When the last person dies, they die. And it took them a long time after the ship showed itself for the aliens to show themselves, right? And then they step out of the ship and they're basically devils. Right, so you have that biblical connection to what you're seeing, right? And if it just so happens to turn out that the aliens that we are dealing with look remotely like this, we ain't ever going to know nothing. Like, you know, if that's the case, this is we have really gone left field today, Ryan. But it's true, right? It's reaction to what people are seeing. I think you're right too, Ryan. I mean, how would the world react? Would we want to know? I personally believe that if they turn up and they just, before they even say anything, they just start throwing the cure for cancer at us, right? Because we can't really argue with that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, just throw the cure for cancer at us, give us the healing coffins, okay? And like, teach us all how to do like proper crypto scams or something so we can all make some money. Because the impact is going to be unbelievable, regardless.
I think this is a good conversation that in some ways goes with the Epstein conversation, where we have to be unafraid to go where the evidence takes us. And a lot of people I know are not emotionally prepared for the non-human intelligence conversation. Mm-hmm. Just like a lot of people are not emotionally prepared for the Epstein Left That Saw Alive conversation. And so they reject it outright because they're not emotionally prepared for talking to you about that. They can't, there's nowhere to process it. There's no compartment in their worldview for it. And I think that reality is just, I don't know, man, a little weird. And the world works in a little bit different way than maybe that we were taught when we were growing up. And that's not scary to me. You know, it used to be a little bit unsettling, but it's not anymore. And I just think that, like, with closed horizon, we want to go where the truth takes us. We want to go where it leads. And like the UFO topic, there's an enormous body of testimonial evidence, circumstantial evidence, direct witnesses from pilots and civilians. It's a topic worthy of respect, and it's been disrespected deliberately by sophisticated psychological operations, Project Blue Book, and the control of the CIA's perception of this in the public mind. Why? I mean, that's just part of the playbook to conceal the truth. Palm Beach Pete, psychological operation. Project Blue Book, psychological operation.
Do you know, just hearing you say that, is the psychological operation like psychological operation fatigue? Like, have we just gotten to the point where we've had to question so much without getting definitive answers that people are just, they're done. They're just like, they've been conditioned to never get the answer. So are less people searching for the answer? through exhaustion.
Like, do you think that's a scary path to be on, right? Like, what do you think? I mean, do you think that in a generation people just give up?
I tell you what I think, Ryan. I think 5 years ago I used to watch documentaries. Okay. 2 years ago I started watching shorts and doom scrolling, and I feel like I've dropped about 150 IQ points in the last 2 years. Like, I struggle with attention. I feel like something has been weaponized to dumbify us. And I've caught myself. I'm like, whoa, I'm really dumb now. How has this happened? And it's the doom scrolling, bro. It's 5 hours of your attention that's achieving nothing. If I watch, if you and I were to sit down and watch Lord of the Rings, right? 3.5 hour marathon movie, wasting 3.5 hours of our time. But we've gone on a story, we've engaged with it, we've had character progression, we've had attachment to emotional things that have happened in the movie. It comes full circle with a beginning and an end. Do you know what? Short form content is the vape equivalent of cigarettes. A cigarette, you light and it ends. Okay. A vape, you're just honking away on it. There's no end to that, bro. There's no end to that. And see if you're down in the dump. See, when I was in the pit of Sarlacc at the beginning of this year, bro, in the low points, I'm like 6 hours of this. And it's done something to me, man. It's done something to my brain. So now I'm on a short form content ban. I'm no longer allowing myself to.
You're detoxing.
100% detoxing, bro.
Yeah.
100%. So now I watch long form content of lots of little short form contents played back to back in one long video. No, I'm kidding. But you understand what I'm saying, right? There's something going on, and the weaponization of fatigue, questioning fatigue, I think is something that could be manifesting as well.
Yeah, even the short form content we get, we only see the things that are allowed to be seen anyway. So they're controlling, you know, what we can perceive, and then it's destroying my brain. I feel the same way when I sit there and I looked at Instagram for like 30 minutes on what am I doing?
Right. Stewie, I've posted a link here. All of the evidence that Ryan and his team have put together is on the site. I suggest you scroll through it all, and some of them you can click to open. There's downloads, there's images and things like this, and go through it all because it's pretty amazing. Obviously, you can see some of the evidence right there, which, I mean, if you want to tell me that that's not Jeffrey Epstein, then that's fine, but I'm telling you now, to me, that's old Jefferson right there. Well, look, Ryan, what's coming next for you guys? What's next? Anything new coming? Give yourself a plug before we start wrapping up.
Yeah. Closed Horizon is still running the Epstein campaign aggressively. We've got a lot of things that we are working on that we can't talk about. At the end of the day, it is an investigation. And so we're very optimistic about the momentum that we have right now, both in terms of the reward pool and in terms of... Sorry, my phone's making noises.
That was a mystical little alert there, eh? A little fairy noise, eh?
Fairy noises, my
sparkle fairy, eh? Yes, Ryan, my guy. Right,
yeah. We're very excited about where this is. You know, we did not know what was going to happen. We put ourselves out there and showed people this evidence, and we have been shown an enormous amount of support. Ron, you inviting us on, and the support that we've gotten for this, people, this seems to resonate, and what we've seen is their support for this. So if people want to support, we encourage you to read the evidence, make your own decision. If you feel like this is what happened, consider backing our reward pool. Everything that goes into that is going to be used to incentivize betrayal from his inner circle. Mm-hmm. And if one day we're wrong, it goes to a 501c3 that helps people in trafficking and addiction. My friend Ben Owen, who runs We Fight Monsters. And so the other thing that you can do is you can take action by emailing your congresspeople for an Epstein Truth Commission. Congress should do, through their subpoena authority, the role that the FBI and the DOJ has failed to do. So we're running down all of those things and continuing to get the word out there about this. We ask people to share this, and if they find it compelling, to send it to their friends and family as well.
100%. And look, I can't wait to speak to you again, Ryan. Again, I've had a weird day today, bro. So I'm sorry we're not going in a little bit longer, and I'm sorry that it's been a bit of a derailing all over the place, UFOs, all this. But a great conversation as always, and always a pleasure, mate. It really is. I really, really, really can't thank you enough for giving up your time and coming and talking to me.
I love coming on and talking to you, Ron. I enjoyed it last time. I was talking to Alex. I was like, man, I like talking to Ron. Like, Ron gets it. It's fun to talk to him.
Ron gets it to the point where I'm getting to the point of like, why is no one else getting this? Like, what? Like, why have you not all been researching this for 10 years like I have? Like, what have you all been doing? Enjoying yourselves? Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? So it's one of them. But look, I'm live in about 15 minutes over on my channel. I'm going to play some music. We're going to not live stream for 7 hours. I need to have an early night, so an hour and a half or something like that. We'll play some music. We'll talk about the album launching. And thank you for all your support with my music, everyone that knows about it. If you'd like to come and join me, the link is being posted now. And Ryan, thank you very much. Shout out to you, Alex. Hope you're doing well. And we'll see you next time, Ryan. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Ron. Good to see you, man.
Easy, brother. Peace.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.